Romans chapter 5, and we can read from the beginning of this chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. We will consider the words of our text as the Lord enables us this day. One of the great things about justification is that God, as a judge, having heard and seen all the evidence against the sinner, instead of pronouncing that sinner guilty, as you and I would expect, he pronounces the sinner righteous. And he pronounces the sinner righteous because of his own Son, who comes in and who takes the place of the sinner, of the guilty, so that the guilty sinner is pardoned and also accepted into the favour of God. Now, this is done and passed in an instant in the court of heaven. The very moment that the sinner believes in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that is God's way of being saved. That is God's only way of being saved, by him taking the sinner out of his or her sinful state and putting that sinner into a state of acceptance with God through saving faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't make me righteous, it pronounces me righteous, so that it changes the sinner's state, not the sinner's nature. It does not mean that you and I become suddenly perfect, that we never sin anymore. But because of faith in Christ, you are seen and you are accepted in him, in God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Now, with that very brief introduction, you'll notice down to the end of verse 11 here that there are six privileges or blessings that belong to the people of God. And we're going to consider just the first three today in the first two verses of Romans chapter 5. And you'll notice there are three privileges or three blessings that belong to the people of God in these first two verses. First of all, we have peace with God in verse 1. Then in verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And further on in verse 2, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. First of all, then, peace with God. Now, it's interesting when you read it through from chapter 1 of Romans to chapter 5. In chapter 1, Paul uses the pronoun I in the first half of that chapter. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Before going on then in the second half of chapter 1 to use the pronoun they. In chapter 2, he uses the pronoun thou, speaking to, directly to, the Jew, mostly. But then in chapter 3, he uses the pronoun they, speaking not directly to, but about the Gentiles, primarily, and they who believe among the Gentiles. But in chapter 4, and from verse 16, he begins to speak about us. From verse 16, he includes us, Jew and Gentile. And he carries that on into this fifth chapter, where it becomes even more personal. Look at how he speaks here in the first two verses. It's not just us now, but we. We have peace with God. We have access through faith in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so he moves on and he includes all the people of God in being justified and having the same privilege as everyone else, as a justified sinner in the sight of God through saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the first of these privileges we can look at is peace with God. Everyone wants peace. It's such a vital part of our own well-being personally, to have peace at work, to have peace in the home, and to have a sense of peace within, to have peace in our land, and to have international peace. But there is no true peace without peace with God underlying every other kind of peace that there is. Because peace with God consists in a loving, in a living, and in a vital relationship with God, which is through faith or trust in Jesus Christ. Now, faith is the instrument, the instrumental cause of justification. Faith is that instrument. God himself is the efficient cause of justification. Romans 8 tells us, for it is God that justifies. God's grace is the moving cause of justification. The grace of God flowing out from the bosom of his love towards awful and sinful creatures like ourselves. But faith is the instrument that lays hold of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that we come to have peace with God. Now, the reason I say that is because of this, that God is either our worst enemy or our best friend. And peace with God through faith makes you and I his best friend. This fifth chapter of Romans uses a word that is very important for you and I to lay hold of. And it's the word reconciliation or reconciled to God. And in reconciliation, the enmity that exists between the sinner and God is taken away. And instead of that enmity that there was there, there is a friendship that is established. That's what this word reconciled or reconciliation actually means. Remember Abraham? He was a heathen man. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. He came and practiced a false religion in Ur of the Chaldees. But we read of Abraham when he was justified by faith and it was counted to him for righteousness that he became the friend of God. We read that in James chapter 2. Now that's a remarkable transition for anyone. An absolutely remarkable transition that is brought about when a sinner, any sinner, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. It's not just that you're now not guilty. It's not just that you're now free from condemnation. It's not even that you're free to go, but that you now become his friend. Can I ask you today, is God your friend? Are you his friend through faith in Jesus Christ? Would you like to be God's friend through faith in Jesus Christ? Would you? Would you like it? Think of a judge in a court of law. That judge acquits someone so that the person who was being accused of whatever he or she did is free to go. That judge then has nothing else to do with that person. The person just goes, and the judge may never see that person ever again. But that's not what happens here. That's not what happens here, because the implication is that in reconciliation, or being reconciled to God as we have it here in chapter 5 of Romans, is that the enmity between the two is abolished, and that the breach that did exist between the two is taken right out of the way. Through the blood of Christ and his righteousness. Completely taken out of the way, so that the saved sinner becomes the friend of God, just like faithful Abraham. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God is no longer angry with you. And you are no longer angry with God. There is this true, lasting, forever friendship between God and the sinner through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what peace with God is. And the apostle includes ourselves when he says, we have peace with God through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first privilege or the first blessing that we have here. But then, secondly, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, we usually think of grace as God's undeserved favor. That is what it is. None of us deserve to be the friend of God. None of us deserve to be saved from our sins. But in his unmerited grace and love, he gives us access by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. But grace here does not exactly mean God's undeserved favor. What it means here is to have a privileged position. Yes, you receive undeserved favor. You obtain the favor of God for no reason in yourself, but only because of his unmerited love. But what it means here is to have a privileged position. It's to be living in a sphere of total acceptance with God. Now, there's two words in verse 2 I want to look at with you very briefly. And the first word is access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You imagine getting an invite to Buckingham Palace to meet the King. What a privilege that would be for any of ourselves. But what if he turned to you, just as you were about to leave, and said to you, I want you to stay, and I want you to live in the palace, in Buckingham Palace? That's not just a privilege, but a privileged position, a privileged position. And that's what this word access means. It brings you in, not just to visit, but to stay. We can visit the highest and have invites to visit the highest in the land, but they will not normally or usually allow us to stay. And so this word access means to bring you in, not just to visit, but to stay in total acceptance with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember how Paul puts it right into the church at Rome, chapter 8. He says, nothing shall separate us. You're not just going to visit me, and then I'm going to show you the door. He says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's no separation. When you come to visit, you are invited to stay. God gives you a place in the palace. palace of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. Peter puts it like this. He says that Christ, having died, the just for the unjust, he brings us to God. Not just for a visit, but to stay in that privileged position. So that he has taken every sin of yours. He has taken every offense that you and I have ever committed against God. All the guilt of all your sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ dies for these sins. So that every breach is completely removed out of the way. And in his name you have access. You have access. Now the word access here actually means an introduction into the palace of the King. And you have that access or introduction into the very court of heaven and before the King of heaven. And there you stand. That's the second word. Stand. Verse 2. This grace wherein we stand. Child of God, you stand in faith in Jesus Christ. Child of God, you stand firm. You stand sure. Child of God, you have the blessing of forever standing in the favor of God. Forever standing in the favor of God. People go in and out of favor with one another every other day. We might say that their relationships with others are more sporadic than continuous, more occasional than permanent. But no one goes out of favor with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Once he saves the sinner is in favor with God. And the sinner becomes the best friend that God has. Abraham was his best friend. And so are all the people of God. Individually, they become his very best friend. How many people had a standing in their communities? How many people had a standing in positions of authority? How many people have had a standing in their constituency? How many people had a standing in number 10 Downing Street, where they've lived for so many years, and they've lived there in favor? But then the time comes when they go out of favor with other people and they lose their standing. And they have to leave the place where they lived, the place that went along with the standing that they had. But this grace wherein we stand is permanent. You're now living in the realm of grace. You're living in the very atmosphere of the grace and the favor of God. The word actually means to abide and to continue. It's not just that you are in the favor of God now, but that you are in the favor of God forever. You're not moving in and out of it the way someone might move home and go to live somewhere else. The life of grace wherein we stand is permanent, and nothing can take you out of it. He has put you in it, not yourself. He has put you there by His grace, and you are planted in His grace so as to remain where you are, forever in the favor of God. Now, no one can go to heaven without faith in Jesus Christ. No one can get to heaven any other way other than through faith in Jesus Christ. No one can be saved from his or her sins without trusting in Jesus Christ. But once you come to trust in Him and be saved, you cannot then come out of being saved and be lost again. Professor John Murray, on his commentary on Romans, says it's an abiding and immovable status arising from faith or trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you are constantly in God's favor. Look at the words he uses. You abide. And you abide there immovably. And it's a status that is given to you, a privileged position that God bestows upon you, so that you are constantly in God's favor. The Arminians tell us that we can be in God's favor one day and then out of God's favor the next. What they are basically saying is that you can be saved one day and then lost again the next day. But this grace wherein we stand means that you are actually living in the atmosphere, living in the realm of grace, not one day and then not the next, but every day of your life. And that is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ is to you. That is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ means to you. And that is because the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of truth, and always ready to forgive the sinner of his and her sins. But then thirdly and finally, very, very briefly here today, because I want to consider this third point in more detail if we are spared next Sabbath. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this is not an uncertain hope. Like hoping that the weather will improve over the summer. Or hoping that the interest rates will go up, or the interest rates will go down, or something like that. All of that is pretty much uncertain for every one of us, because things may not improve the way that you hope they would improve. Notice here, there is faith in verse 1, and then there is hope in verse 2. Many people have hopes of heaven, but no faith. And therefore, their hopes of heaven are obviously false hopes. The hopes they have are false hopes. But look at how faith here leads on and carries on to give someone who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ a hope, a good hope through grace, we are told elsewhere. Everyone has their own hopes for themselves. But these are all just natural. This faith that is spoken of in Jesus Christ, the moment you begin to trust in Him to save you, you have a hope. And Paul refers to it here when he says, "Hope maketh not ashamed." In other words, you will not be disappointed with the hope that Jesus Christ gives you. Faith gives us real hope. Not an uncertain hope that may or may not happen, but an absolutely certain hope. And that hope is of coming to enjoy the glory of God. On this occasion, it's the hope of heaven. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's the hope of heaven. As we said earlier, everyone has this hope of going to heaven some way or another. But these are all uncertain kinds of hope. But when you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life, you have a real and a certain hope. Now, when you're hoping for something, for anything, you're looking forward to that hope being fulfilled for you. You're thinking about it being fulfilled. You want it to actually happen. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So he's looking forward to something that is going to be fulfilled in his or her experience. Think of it this way. When Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, he had the righteousness of Christ covering him over so that he was accepted into the favor of God. Now his faith is trusting in Christ to save him from his sins. To save him from the guilt of his sins. His faith is trusting in Christ. Even Christ himself speaks of Abraham many, many, many years later and says, Abraham, Abraham saw my day afar off. It's as if Abraham actually stood and saw the Savior himself standing before him. He saw my day and was glad. But that's for his salvation. And through that trust in Jesus Christ for his salvation, he's now got a hope. It's a hope he never had before. And it's a hope that will never be ashamed. In other words, what we are to understand by this word ashamed is that it's a hope that will not disappoint. It's real, it's genuine, and it's true. And he's hoping for something in the future. And it's the glory of God. All we'll say about it is at the moment, it's heaven. It's heaven itself that he's now hoping for. And his hope has now been fulfilled. Because he now sees what he had hoped for. He's in the palace of the king himself. And his faith and his hope, although they don't cease, they now give way in a sense to sight. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You've got a hope through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a good hope. And it's the hope of heaven. If he is the way, the truth, and the life, you keep trusting and hoping in him to take you there as the captain of your own salvation, who is already there and who will take all who trust and hope in him there with him where he is. May it be so that each one of ourselves will know him. For this is life eternal, that we might know God and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray.